Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Speaking, and I listen to Lou Manfredini every Saturday morning.
Oh, Midge. How are you, Midge? 7:15 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning to Doma T. Good morning, Mark, again. I know, Mark, you didn't want to think you'd have to talk this much early on. You thought I'd get you through the first report without talking so much, but I'm engaged, Mark. That's what you're going to get with me. Most of the guys, you know, most people who host radio shows, once the news starts, they don't pay any attention. That's not the case with me, right, Doma T?
It's very
true. I'm up in Doma T's kitchen all the time with this
stuff.
He comes
over, he's like, you know what? Breathe. You got to breathe, son.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, too. Welcome back from your vacation. Yes,
thank
yes.
You. Lou, just so you know, I am happy to talk the whole show. We can just, you know, talk sports if you want for 3 hours.
Well,
but see, the problem is with me, I know just enough in the talk radio world to just kind of throw these little things out there, you know, to get people going, and then you bury me with your knowledge. So I'm not ever going to take you on, you know. I'm just going to say, well, what about this?
He's going to troll you a little bit,
Mark. Exactly, right. On-air trolling, that's what it's called. Right, very nice.
It's the only way to go. That's what life's all about nowadays, trolling. It's
trolling, right. We got to stop that. But actually, it's interesting you bring that up because one of our guests this morning at 8:35 is a gentleman by the name of Steve Ewell, would you say? Ewell? Well? Not pronounce the E?
Ewell.
He's the executive director of an organization. It's called the Consumer Technology Association Foundation, helping older folks or people that are technology challenged to understand how the technology works. So it's great. You can teach a whole new group of people how to troll on the internet.
I'll be paying attention.
right, Mark. Mark and I will be in here. So what is that called? And I what? So anyway, we're going to be talking with them later. And then... if you've got, we have not featured this product on this show.
You've talked about it.
About it.
Right.
Because I made the whole connection with the cheap leather couch and the nice leather jacket. That was you, right? You were here. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
so,
my coat.
Huh?
It was my coat you were talking
it
about.
It was your jacket.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So this is a product to help bring your leather back to life, which is awesome. So that'll be our Noodaloo 2, and I'm looking forward to speaking with our guest about the technology stuff. I got lots of questions myself, so it'll be good. So we're here until 10 o'clock this morning, and then John Williams makes his way in for his Saturday show as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's the number that Margaret called in Orland Park. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. This is a lot of pressure being the first caller, I think.
I know. Try not. You can do this. You can do this. It's fine.
All right. Lou, this is my question. I had new oak floors installed in my townhome about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I have discovered what I have learned is called cupping. And, of course, I'm terrified that my floors are ruined. So I want to know, what do I do?
Where is the cupping?
The cupping is in the wood.
No, I know that, but is it the whole floor in a certain area?
The whole floor. And I think it's been caused by high humidity in the crawl space.
Okay, so you're in a townhome.
Mm-hmm.
You have a crawl. Do you remember when they, and this is a true 3/4-inch oak floor.
Yes, it is.
And do you remember them talking about a vapor barrier?
I do not.
Did you watch them install the floor?
I remember there being a black, I think it was more of a felt pad they rolled on it.
Okay. But it was black.
Yes.
So that's your vapor barrier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So okay. What's going on here?
All right, all right, all right. So this is this will be okay, but we have to control the moisture in the crawl. Can you get into that crawl?
Well, I can't personally.
But somebody can?
Yes. I had a friend throw a dehumidifier down there with a fan for me. And I don't know if that's what I need, but I said it can't hurt. Because I found out the humidity was almost, it was 67, 68%.
Yeah, so that's killing you on the underside of your floor.
Okay,
all right. We need to address the moisture underneath that crawl. How long are you going to stay in this? Let me ask you this. The crawl space now, how does it get accessed? Is there a basement and then a crawl space attached to it?
There's what I call a hatch in one of the closets that you go down into it.
Okay. I actually think what you should probably do is have the crawl space encapsulated.
It's a cement crawl. Does that mean anything?
Well, I mean,
it still should be encapsulated.
I mean, if you have that high moisture level, the encapsulation. Well, all right. Let's think about this. Okay, if it's concrete, and it's not, and let's seal that slab. Okay, there's a product called Bone Dry. Okay, Bone Dry products. And you're going to have someone go down there with a pump sprayer and follow the instructions, and you're going to seal that concrete so that moisture doesn't come up through it. And then you're going to have that same person caulk the perimeter of the concrete where it meets the walls.
Okay.
And the dehumidifier is not a bad idea as long as it's draining properly, but it might not be enough to get rid of all that moisture. And so you may want to address something that's a little bit more substantial.
Like a whole house dehumidifier?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So PermaSeal, our friends at PermaSeal.
And I had them on my list of questions.
All right, well, they sell this product called Sanidry, sell and install this product called Sanidry. And there's a new version of it coming out called Sedona. And
like the desert.
Get it? See the connection there? And they could also talk to you about encapsulation, which is they would put essentially a rubber liner on there. You got to control that moisture down below. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is what you really want to hear. The cupping will go away in the winter.
Oh, Lou, you have no idea how
it'll take about 2.5 months or so for it to settle down, but the wood will settle down. I don't want you to sand anything. I don't want you to do anything like that. If the crawl space in the interim has any crawl space venting, do you have any idea if it has any venting?
It does.
All right, so open up those vents for now.
Well, but see, I think the problem was the humidity got in there because of the vent.
Hear me out. Hold on a second. Okay. Open up the vent. And then, do you have vents on both sides of it?
Both sides of the crawl, yes.
Yeah, so on one side of the crawl, about 2 feet in front of it, I want you to put a box fan. Go buy a $20 box fan at the Ace and just stick it in the crawl.
Ace. And I will go to Ace.
Attagirl. Point it across and open the other vent to move that air, to push it, suck fresh air in, push fresh air out. This is in the interim what you're going to do. And I bet you by Thanksgiving, the floor is going to look a lot better.
All right. But I need to call PermaSeal then.
You need to call PermaSeal. 800-421-SEAL. Thank you so much for the phone call. 7:24 in the morning. We'll be right back. Hey, by the way, it's 7:28 in the morning. It's time to hop in the car and head to Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois. Open every day from 9 until 6. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Will in Chicago. Will, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I wanted to get a recommendation, if you had one, for a security cage for the condenser unit, for a split, AC split unit.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. We featured a company that makes these. Can you give me a minute? Keep listening, and I'll find it. We featured a company. They'll actually come out and do the installation, too. But essentially what it is, it's like a it's a metal for a you said it's a split system, so it's a skinny tall condensing unit. Yeah. So they make this, it's custom made based on the unit that you put in there, and they'll bolt it down to the ground, and it's got a lock system, so if you ever had to service it, you can open it up. But it's essentially just a two metal strap system, so nobody, it's really going to slow them down so they can't take it. So just hold on, I'll come up with it, and I'll give that information to everybody after the WGN radio news.
Look what you made me do. Hey, Lou, I wasn't paying attention, and I got super glue all over our dining room table. Look what you made
me do. The refrigerator is always getting dirty. I get a fingerprint on it, and I get yelled at.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's usually true that when you just ignore problems, they just get better.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Look what you just made me do.
Look what you just made me do. Welcome back. It's 7:39 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. A gentleman called in this morning about, you know, if you have a condensing unit for your AC unit outside and you are worried that they're going to steal it. There's companies that make these guards. And we interviewed a company on this show.
I remember.
And but we're not sure if this is a company. It's based in Chicago. Is that company you found in Chicago? Where are they at?
I don't think it's Chicago.
No.
But this one
will
called...
they ship it to you?
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully that gentleman's listening.
AC-guard.com. AC guard.
Yeah. And it's like a metal strap system that goes around, and they make, I think if they don't install it, you probably just tell them the unit that you have. You probably have to give them the serial number, and then they'll just ship it right to you, and you literally just bolt it to the ground.
Gorilla cage?
Well, that sounds like it.
Yeah,
that sounds like it.
That's the one that we interviewed. And that's gorilla-cage.com.
Are they in Chicago?
This is definitely it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember this. There's a big monkey face. When you go to the website.
You're like, oh, look, it reminds me of you.
Yes.
That's why you remember.
With clear glass. He's even wearing clear glasses.
Like Joe Buck.
Crazy. yeah, this
Everybody
is,
thinks she's so nice.
Yes, this is it. 708. Okay. It's the phone number, 708-371-1500. So they're definitely Chicago.
Gorilla cage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Well, I got one that I should probably have them come and do as well. That's good. That's good. And that's a big problem. What's happening is thieves come out and they cut the copper line because the thing's full of copper, and then they go and recycle it. And, you know, two guys, bang, they throw it in the back of a truck and off they go. And you're up you know what without a paddle. It's terrible. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Sue in Gurnee. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Lou. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you. Happy rainy Saturday.
Oh, I know. Okay, we're moving into a townhome. Has some yucky carpeting, and underneath is concrete. There's no basement, just concrete floor. We're thinking about this vinyl plank flooring.
Like the luxury vinyl?
Yeah, and yeah. I wanted to get your opinion on it, and if there's any brand that you like, and then I want to talk to you about the baseboard placement.
Okay. I just recently got an email from somebody at HouseSmartsTV.com saying, what do you prefer, the traditional laminate flooring or the vinyl planking? Essentially, what vinyl plank is, it's the next iteration of laminate floors. But the benefit of the vinyl plank is it's a little bit more flexible, and the material is thicker, and it's like the... What kind of phone do you have, Sue?
What kind of
phone? You have a cell phone?
Oh, yeah. Don't laugh. I have the 3G iPhone.
All right. Well, this is not my example. It's working for me. But in other words,
sorry.
If you have a smartphone, you know, and you got the old whatever the phone is, and then you go to the next one, it's better. You know, it's better.
Yeah.
So these vinyl plank floors are better, and everyone's jumping into it. So the major brands, the Armstrongs. Are coming into it, and I'm trying to think of another. Mohawk, I think, has one. So I don't have a specific brand that I can recommend. I know the guys at Builders Supply Outlet, they have a luxury vinyl line that they're touting, which is a really nice thing. I will tell you this when it comes to that flooring. You definitely get what you pay for. And so I would rather you go to a flooring store or like a Builders Supply Outlet where they've got, you know, high quality stuff that they get in large quantities that you could do a whole room with. Don't
we
just
do the whole house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, you just got to make sure you get the right square footage. But my point is that this is definitely something you get what you pay for. Over the top of a slab, it's a great idea because of moisture. It really doesn't affect it whatsoever. Probably still going to do some kind of moisture barrier down there, but I do like them, and you know, you'll see the difference when you look at how much it costs. That if I spend a little bit more, I get a thicker look. You know, they've got a look that mimics hand scraping on the, which is a little more textured to it, which is kind of nice. So I like it a lot. What was your second question?
Well, the brand. Well, we've been to Floor and Decor, and then I was going to go to a place called Century Supply Company.
Century Tile?
Well,
or Century Supply?
It says Century Supply.
Oh, okay. Well, what was the brands you saw at Floor and Decor?
Nucor.
Yeah.
And AquaGuard, we thought was vinyl, but actually the second time we went in there, a gentleman said, oh, this is AquaGuard was not vinyl. It was very thick, though, and 100% waterproof. But he said it was an upgraded laminate. It was just laminate that's like, you know, so now I'm afraid to go with that. Carndeen was a brand that a floor guy recommended.
Yeah, so Carndeen we've featured on this show. They make a loose lay product that, you know, a lot of these vinyls, they still kind of go together, so they hold themselves together. Carndeen, I think, has two lines. Can you check to see if Carndeen on the loose lay, if they also make one that clicks together? But their big thing is that they make a loose lay product, which I really like quite a bit.
A loose what?
It doesn't. In other words, the planks go down, and they just sit next to each other. They don't lock in together.
Oh.
Yeah, and so the beauty of that product is when it's all put together, it really doesn't move. But if you ever got any water or anything like that, you literally could pick it up and put it outside and hang it on a line. But that Carndeen is a nice product.
What
so
was the question?
Does Carndeen make a – is all of their stuff loose lay, or do they also have stuff that goes together, that clicks together? You probably have to search that out
okay,
a little bit.
Hold on.
Yeah. So we'll find that out. But those are all good brands. The thing is, who's going to do this work?
Well, we're living in an apartment building right now, and the guys that do the flooring in this apartment building, the maintenance men said, these two brothers are excellent. And so
just make sure they have experience with the product, right? And because
the one that recommended Carndeen.
Yeah.
Because he loves it.
Yeah, so make sure they have experience putting it down. It's really durable. Like that Carndeen product they put in hospital, like cafeterias. So there's a bunch of commercial applications. That's where it came from. And so I do like that product quite a bit. So check that out. But again, you get what you pay for. Sue, I appreciate the phone call. It's 7:46 in the morning. When we come back, it'll be time for our new Tolu 2 that's going to bring your leather back to life. Don't go away.
That's right, Chicago. We've all got our issues.
I've been getting this constant leak in my basement every time it rains.
And if yours are about the home, you're going to want to call Lou.
My toilet keeps spitting back up at me when flushing, and it's really gross.
That's Lou Manfredini, taking your calls live till 10 right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WYN.
7:51 in the morning. Time now for our new Tolu 2, sponsored by ComEd. So take a look at the leather you have in your life. And if you have a lot of leather and you need help keeping it looking good, take a listen to this.
How much leather do you have in your life? Furniture, car seats, clothes, purses, shoes, jackets, maybe stuff we don't want to know about.
Ow!
Over time, it's just inevitable it's going to get scratched or nicked up, right? And for the most part, it just ain't as pretty. Unless you're going for that distressed look, of course, which, hey, I know it's in. But this weekend's new Tolu 2 is going to clean and condition your leather in one easy step with no greasy residue. Leather CPR Cleaner and Conditioner safely melts away dirt and grime in seconds. You just wipe it on and watch it work. I have to say, I personally was skeptical when Lou cleaned my purse. Thank you very much, Lou. In the demo we posted on Facebook, but my leather purse is honestly like new again. Unlike other products, leather CPR is safe to use on gloves, soft, and exotic leathers, and is dermatologically dermatologist-tested, so it's not going to irritate your skin. The company guarantees their product is the bestest or your money back, period. One bottle goes for about $14.99 and can be found along with their other cleaning products for furniture, carpet, and granite on cprcleaningproducts.com. I will put all of this information up on Lou's Facebook page, so click your fingers on over there and like him if you don't already. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
This is really good stuff. This leather CPR, which is really funny. We talked about this on the show here. I think the woman that's the CEO of the company is originally from Chicago. And they either saw me feature it on WGN TV or something. And remember we got the email from, right?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, my family heard you talking about this, and I think she lives in California. Mm-hmm. The products are made in California, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What I really like about this product, and actually they have a whole product line. I used it on, we had a couch that we had purchased years ago from, I may always say this wrong, Dania. Is that Dania?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Dania? Dania?
Dania.
It was very nice. It was a red couch. And over the years, it started to crack. You know, the leather starts to crack. And that really ultimately means the leather's not the greatest, you know? And a lot of these cheaper, that couch was not cheap. And it was probably 10 years when after the cracking started to happen. But I was like, man, I need to come up with some idea. It's almost like it needs moisturizer. That's what it looked like. Because it got the area where it was cracking, the sun went through the windows, and that's what it was doing. And you looked at it, and you just, I mean, think about it. Leather is, mm-hmm. it's skin. I mean, that's what it is, right?
It's like how you condition your hair.
Exactly. So I started to apply this in the area that cracked. It didn't make the cracks go away. Mm-hmm. But you could see where it was kind of migrating and getting larger. And as I started to use the product, it stopped. Mm. And I thought, wow, this is really good product. And then we learned that it's, as Lindsay mentioned, it's dermatologically tested.
Dermatologist tested.
Dermatologically tested.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, it says, just to make it easier, it's dermatologist tested.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it says on the website.
All right.
But you said in the video, too.
Dermatologically?
So we posted a video on it.
We have. So what we're here's what we're doing. We're getting smarter about this after 22 years. All these New to Lou 2s, a lot of it is about seeing, you know, and this is the radio. We're trying to, you know, obviously theater of the mind here. But we're doing these videos that are backing up the things that we're going to talk about. And you can go to my Facebook page and see me holding and cleaning Lindsay's purse, making fun of me. Dermatologically tested.
Right. It's a mouthful.
Pride and joy of Deerfield High School, class of 82.
I knew it.
Yeah, Millikan University, go Big Blue. Hey, that rhymes. Look at that. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it. Anyway, I like this product. The application for them says to use a sponge, like a damp sponge on there. I like using it in my hands because I think you just get more, you can work it in better. And it's not, it really does help. And you can use it on a lot of things. Like, take a look at your car, like your leather, if you have leather seats in your car, that one cushion where your butt comes in by the door, that's the one that always takes a beating. What I will tell you is the trick with this is if you just bought a new car or you have some new piece of leather, start putting this stuff on it like once every couple months.
Hmm. My shoes is where I'm really actually mad you took that bottle home with you. No, you did. And I said, oh, no, you take it. But now I'm like,
you know, you can buy
shoes,
them at a store. Actually, most Ace Hardware stores carry it. But
bucks.
I can bring the bottle. It
might still
be in my car. If it's in my car, I'll give it to you when we leave. It's really good stuff. Leather CPR, it's up on the Facebook page, and it's really good if you want to bring the leather back. How about a quick call before we take a break? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Tom in Naperville. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic. What's going on?
Let me get you off a speakerphone. I'll see you guys later.
Okay, take care.
Hey, Lou. Awake with Drake was a very good friend of mine. So you've kind of taken the place of Awake with Jake.
Okay.
And he would have loved your show.
Oh, nice.
He would have really enjoyed you, too. And
Thank you.
The people that are calling in.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, he passed away from a heart attack. You know about that.
Mm.
And that's how it goes.
Got it.
I have a lady I have a lady and a man that was in a Clarendon Hills home that's worth $450,000, and they've totally destroyed it with about 20 to 35 cats over the years. The lady died in January, leaving quite an estate behind, and the man is a handicapped man in the military, naval. He's just about had it, too.
Okay.
The house has been destroyed with not only the cats, but all the urine that has turned into ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it doesn't make any sense at this point throwing the man out of the house. He needs a home to live in. Yeah, the income is not there anymore. What do I do once the man moves out of there or passes away or whatever with the ammonia, or do I just whack the house down? Is there a company that will come out and evaluate how bad the ammonia has gotten in the house? Because, Lou, it's into everything.
Well,
the daughter had a small grease fire that destroyed about $25,000, which I got. But the ammonia is just, it makes your eyes water. The furnace man that I've known for 30 years, he had to run in inside and out of the house to fix the furnace. That's how bad it was.
Right. Okay, so...
it doesn't make any sense throwing this man out of the house.
Okay, I understand. And you know, is there carpeting in the house?
There's everything in the house.
Okay. Well, I mean, the very first thing is, I mean, depending on what kind of investment you want to make, the carpeting probably just has to all be taken out. Because you could have it cleaned, but it's not going to, it'll get better, but it won't eliminate the problem. So problem is, yeah, if you take out all the carpeting, you got to replace all the carpeting. And then right, depending on what's underneath that carpeting, it's probably in the subfloor.
Right.
And so,
how about the sheetrock and the insulation?
Well,
and
if they were spraying on the walls, which cats can do too, that's problematic as well.
Ammonia is the problem.
Right. Yeah. But certainly the odor long term, as it gets absorbed around the perimeter of the home, can be problematic. If you can do some kind of exhaust fan, even as simple as an exhaust fan somewhere that can take that air out and blow it out, if you did a through-the-wall thing or something like that, that could certainly help. And then temporarily, there's plenty of odor-neutralizing products. We talk about Fresh Wave all the time, but you would probably need a 55-gallon drum to be able to do that and spray that area around there to try and get it out. If you're trying to work around this gentleman, I would probably start with removing all the carpeting. And if you can replace that and do a clean job big time, and then, as I mentioned, some type of exhaust fan system, that will definitely help. Appreciate the phone call. A quick break, and then we'll go to news.
Lou, can I tell you that I'm a Saturday morning bike rider, and early in the morning, like at 5 a.m., 6 a.m.,
uh-huh,
and for years, every time I get home, I catch you in bed with my wife.
Not quite sure how to answer that, Chuck.
How about that? I like that.
I don't know if I like that. I'm uncomfortable now. I'm starting to sweat.
8:13 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Over the years, you've heard me promote this program that my friend Bill Conforti has been supporting for years. It's the Hamlin Park Annual Boxing Show, which is this Thursday, October 19th at 7 p.m. This is a program that helps keep these kids off the street and teaches them great life lessons. And it's a completely sanctioned, legit program that is really super beneficial. Admission is free. There's going to be, the Hamlin Park is home of lightweight world champion and Olympic hero David Diaz, as well as the heavyweight contender and national Golden Gloves champion, Fres Oquendo, as well. Hamlin Park is located at 3035 North Hoyne. That's near Damon. It's a block south of Belmont. It's part of the Chicago Park District event. And the underwriting sponsor, of course, is Cobblestone Development. If you'd like information about the event, I've been out there. It's really something. These kids work really hard to be part of this, as well as the adults that are part of this boxing show. You can call today at 773-661-0606, 773-661-0606. That's the phone number for Cobblestone, and they can get you the information about the boxing event. Again, that's at Hamlin Park, October 19th, starting at 7 p.m. Admission is free. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Leo in Carpentersville. Leo, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I'm looking to buy a house. The house is about 40 years old, and the sellers did a very thorough rehab, probably about 80%. But the inspectors found that the exhaust hose that goes from the bathroom just goes up to the attic and doesn't terminate at the roof line. It just terminates laying down in the attic.
Okay.
And we're trying to argue that potential hazard for mold type of thing.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the incorrect installation. You cannot vent just into the attic space because the moisture just sits inside there. So anybody with an exhaust fan, it has to vent directly out, whether it's over a soffit vent, through a wall, or even a roof vent that has to get installed. You know, there's like a thing called a roof jack where they pop it through the roof, it terminates, and then that hose would plug into that so that it evacuates. It absolutely has to get fixed.
In addition to that, the flue or the damper on the fireplace is completely deteriorated, and they really don't want to address that problem. Do you have any approximate estimate of what a damper or a flue would be to repair?
Is it a masonry fireplace?
Yeah, the fireplace is brick.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you would... It's hard for me to give you an estimate because what would happen is somebody like a Lindeman chimney would come out and they'd have to remove some of that brickwork and work from the inside to install a new flue system, damper system in there, and then do a little masonry work. So, I mean, you know, it could be anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000, depending on the amount of work that's done. You know, that is, you know, if you're trying to get a credit on something like that, I mean, I think that the thing to focus on is the roof vent first. And even if you can get them to throw some kind of, you know, credit for the fireplace, I mean, that definitely should be addressed as well, because you're going to lose, you know, you're going to have a lot of air escaping, especially in the winter months, up that flue, which will be problematic for you.
Yeah, and the injector pump doesn't work at all, and they've given us like $1,000 credit, but I believe those problems, in addition to the radon fan that circulates the air, the radon can't be tested because the fan has to be circulating for 24 hours prior to testing.
Right. Well, and, are you taking a mortgage out on this home?
Yes, unfortunately.
If there is a radon mitigation system already there, you know, is your mortgage company asking for a radon test?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, you need to get that done. When are you supposed to close?
Halfway through November 17th.
Well, I mean, then you got to make sure that the radon gets tested, that the fan is running for the 24 hours, as you mentioned, Leo. The $1,000 credit for the ejector pump, if it's not working, that's a good credit, because if you brought somebody out, even just a plumber, to replace that, you should be able to do that no problem for that. Or if you do it yourself, you'll even make some money on the deal. Have them address those three things. I mean, look, all this is part of the negotiation process. But I would definitely make sure that you get that radon tested to make sure that that system that's in there now is working properly so that you don't have excessive readings when it comes to the radon in the home. Appreciate the phone call. 8:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Let's return now to the Mr. Fix-It Show with our guy, Lou Manfredini. You are listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You belong among the wildflowers.
Thank you, Marianne. 8:24 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200.
Sail away.
Here's Gene in Palos Heights. Gene, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. It's great to listen to your show every Saturday.
Thank you.
And I need some advice.
Yes, sir.
Before I run over to Duke's Hardware and my Ace store in Palos Hills,
yep.
I want to paint my metal entry door like a colonial red. How would you do it?
I would lightly sand the door down. Just to, you know, get any dirt and debris that's off of that, smooth it out as best you can.
Okay.
And then I'd wipe it down with, probably what I would do is wipe it down with a little bit of mineral spirits and a rag.
Got it.
The reason is I'm going to have you use a Rust-Oleum, metal paint in the color of your choice.
They
can mix the color if you want, or you can get that red.
Okay.
And what is it, a 6-panel door?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. What I want you to do is with the first coat of the red, I want you to take buy a little paint container, you know, like one of those plastic cups you can buy to stick your brush in.
Yeah, sure.
Take about, pour about, you know, a couple inches of the red paint in there. And then a cap full of mineral spirits.
Okay.
Mix that up. So you're thinning that first coat down, and you're going to put that first coat on the door. It'll be a little streaky. That's okay. When it dries, lightly sand it again. Then a full coat, you're going to cut around the 6 panels and then roll the door with like a foam roller to get a really nice finish on it.
Got it.
And that'll be your second coat, and it should look really nice and hold up really well for you.
Lou, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
You got
that.
It. Have a great day.
And you too, sir.
Bye-bye. Take care. I appreciate you calling this morning. This is Jay in Chicago. Jay, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I've got a problem with the utility closet that I have on the first floor of my townhouse.
Okay.
And in there, I've got a water heater, air conditioner and furnace unit, and a drain, and folding doors.
Okay.
And I've had two situations where I've got water on the floor, and it leaks out into the carpet and the pad in the family room. And I'm just trying to figure out if there's anything I could do to try to keep the water in the closet if something happens again.
All right, you have a drain, and the water that leaked, where did that come from? From the AC drain or what?
Well, I had two situations. The first one was the sewer backed up in that drain and came out of the closet. And then the other one was an air-conditioned coil froze and then melted.
Oh, okay. And so then when that melted, it came down the side of the AC unit.
Yep, onto the floor and then out into the den.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you're going to, you know, the only way you could put some kind of, and what's the floor? Is it just plywood?
The floor is concrete. And then, like I say, out in the den, it's a pad and carpet on top.
Okay,
of
so it's sitting on a concrete pad.
Yeah, it's first floor.
And can you get around the AC? Can you get around the equipment at all or no?
It wouldn't be easy. It's pretty tight in there.
Okay.
To get behind it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the problem is, depending on where the water comes from, you know, the things like with the sewer backing up on the drain, there are some caps that you can put in there that are self-sealing caps where it's a drain under normal situations and it has a float on the bottom of it that if the sewer were ever to back up, it acts almost like, you know, an old ball float on a toilet. It raises up and it seals it up. So that's the easy part for the floor drain. But the part of the rest of it leaking, I think your better bet would be to use something like, there's a product called Leak Frog.
Okay.
Leak Frog, which is a sensor. And you can put that down there, and it will beep if it ever starts to leak again.
Okay.
Honeywell even makes a product that's Wi-Fi enabled that you can put there that also detects the leak, and it'll send you a text message. So that's a Honeywell product that you know, you plug in and you put down there with a sensor. It uses your Wi-Fi system, so then if you're traveling or you're out of town or you know you're at somebody's house and all of a sudden something's leaking, you know, to get back and take a look at it. But unless you can put some kind of tray and seal it all up and make it, you know, kind of hold the water, there's not a lot you can do to prevent it from getting into that room because it'll just permeate around the other areas as well. I think probably managing that and making sure everything is serviced properly makes the best bet. Thanks so much for the phone call. Quick break and then the news. Joey, is it Concrete Blonde? Baby, remember this song? Carmen, what is this? 19... What do you think this is?
This is Life, Lou, right here.
What year do you think this is? I'm going to say 93.
I'm cheating. Should I tell you what I found out or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
1990. The ninth track from Concrete Blonde's third and most successful album,
really?
Bloodletting.
What's Concrete Blonde's number one hit?
I can't believe it's not Joey.
I mean, what was their, like, breakout song?
Right now, Domitee's on the phone right now with Todd Manley going, I can't work with these people anymore. This is, he goes, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
I was on Earth for about a year at this point.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Right. Lou, you can do no wrong, by the way. I've been meaning to thank you.
Why?
For last week.
Why?
Lou was making fun of me because
I was not, I was absolutely not making fun of you. I was just expressing how cool you are and how I want to be more like you.
No, it
oh, yeah,
was in
you
a
weren't
good
here
way.
For this.
And so
yeah.
you know, my lady was here,
My lady. That's
yeah.
what so here I gotta tell Lindsay the story.
Yeah.
So Domitee, I come in the morning, Lindsay was off. And here's Domitee right as I'm walking in the door with this beautiful woman. I go, "Good morning." And of course, you know me, I see a cute girl. And Domitee says, "Oh, hey, good morning. This is my lady, Kia." That's how he said it. And I'm like, "Ooh, my lady." And I go, so I told Mike, Steven, and Cross, I go, "We got to start introducing our wives." But he was just so smooth and so cool. And you two make a lovely couple. She's a beautiful woman.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And so now I got all the cool points because she didn't hear it live. She left the radio. And so I played the show back and I said, "Listen to this part." And she was like, "You did say my lady. I like that." You know, help me out, Lou.
See, I got your back, Domitee.
I can't go anywhere else.
That's
this,
right.
This is
stick
home
with me.
Right here.
Stick with me. Anyway, we're playing Joey because Mike Steven, their new baby, is named Joey, and Mike knows that song. He's old enough to know that song. Okay, let's talk about some technology problems you might be having. This is really cool. There's an organization called Consumer Technology Association Foundation. And joining me on the phone line right now is Steve Yule, who is the executive director. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This technology is a frightening thing for a lot of people, in particular for those of us that get to a certain age. They were probably born long before Concrete Blonde had their song Joey. Tell us a little bit about what your organization does.
Sure, happy to. And yeah, we're essentially a charitable foundation that's affiliated with the Consumer Technology Association, and they're a trade association. They represent over 2,000 technology companies, everything from the large global brands that you know to small startups, and run a show called CES every January in Las Vegas. But essentially 5 years ago, we set up the foundation as a way to give back to our communities on behalf of the industry. And when we were looking at what issues we wanted to take on, we looked around and realized that our industry is doing a lot of great work in STEM education. We think that's critical and important.
Right.
But we decided to take something a little different and focus in on aging and disability issues because really there's so much opportunity for technology to help us all live independently longer. We're looking at demographic shift in the country right now.
Right.
10,000 people turn 65 every day. There's, one in five people have some form of disability within the United States. So we really saw this as a chance for technology to be a tool that could be used to help people live at home.
I just saw recently that stat that you just gave about the 10,000 people every day are turning 65, which is... It's a staggering number. I mean, the world is a big place, of course, but it's a staggering number. And when you look at that age group, right, the terminology of being a native to technology, we're not, right? That age group is probably even, I mean, I don't even know what age group you go back to, but it's probably, you know, anybody born before probably 1990 was not native to the kind of technology that we have now. What is the biggest barrier, Steve, when it comes to trying to help older adults with this technology? Is it first of all, sort of accepting that they can do it? I mean, what is the biggest barrier?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the challenges is, you know, quite frankly, as with any generation, you know, one person is not the same as the next. So
Right. There's
plenty of people who, you know, older adults who spend a lot of time tinkering with technology and using technology. You know, I've dealt with or worked with people who are 100 plus that still love staying up on the latest technologies. And certainly on the other end of the spectrum, there's people who are younger who don't. But
right.
Really, it's learning what is that value proposition. You know, why will learning this new piece of technology help me? What's the benefit to it? And there's a number of answers to that. Is it something that's going to help me stay socially connected? Is it going to help me, you know, do the various activities that I want to do on a daily basis, get out and about through transportation and other solutions? So really just kind of getting that, you know, what's the reason to learn this new piece of technology? And then it's finding the resources that can help you learn about those types of technologies. And it's interesting. We've worked with programs around the country that do tech education for older adults or for people with disabilities. And some of them, when they've started, they've really gone out and gotten, you know, really highly technical people who come in and teach these classes. And what we've learned is that's not always the right answer. Sometimes it's actually easier to teach people who have more experience in, you know, social work or teaching and areas along those lines about the technology, because they're much more willing to sit down and, you know, spend a class talking about how to use different types of technology. So we've seen a lot of great success with those types of programs.
It's interesting to me. You know, I'm the father of four children, my youngest being 16. And, you know, there are certainly perils when you're raising teenage kids to the whole technology part of it. You know, and there are, you know, there's pluses and minuses to anything, right? But on the older spectrum, where you've got a lot of people that are just trying to get a handle on the benefits of this thing, I mean, it's really, there's so many positives towards it. Now, you talked about the fact that your association represents a lot of different organizations, and I know many of these organizations are free of charge to older adults to sign up to, because they're funded by a lot of these organizations. Does your association offer sort of like a search program where people can find out, you know, if this radio station reaches, you know, five different states, they can go to and say, I live in Michigan and I'm looking for something, or I live in Illinois or Wisconsin, that they can find these places?
You know, unfortunately, we don't have a search quite like that. We certainly list all of the organizations.
Bring that up at the next meeting, Steve.
It'll be we do list all the organizations that we support on our website.
But oh, okay.
In no way is that a comprehensive list of what's going on across the country, because, you know, as much as I'd like to say we're supporting every organization across the country,
sure.
You know, there's only so many things we can do. But there's a lot of great work that's going on in the Chicago area and across the area that you reach. I mean, some of the programs locally that I've seen are, you know, certainly there's a program called Cyber Navigator, which is through the Chicago Public Library, and they do a number of technology training classes that people can take through the library system. There's the Village Chicago, which that's actually building off a movement that we're seeing across the country, where rather than have people leave their home and go into assisted living,
right,
they're actually building many of the services of assisted living into the communities where people are already living.
Right.
So, the Village Chicago doesn't cover the entire city yet, I don't believe,
mm-hmm.
but essentially, if you're in the communities, you're able to join and, you know, volunteer some time that you have to give, but also get services back through that as well. So there's a number of those types of technology or those types of services that can provide a little bit of technology training and support. We've also done some work with the Council of Jewish Elderly through a program that we've done called Self-Help, which has a virtual senior center. So homebound seniors who cannot get out of their homes are able to use this technology to connect in, socialize with people around the country and around the world, take classes. It's really it's amazing to see what a fairly simple technology of essentially video chat can do for someone's health and engagement.
Right. Steve Ewell is the executive director of the Consumer Technology Association Foundation. Steve, if people want to find you, I'm sure you have a website, but in the realm of you know, a lot of people that don't do the technology, do you also have a phone number or no?
I do have a phone number.
Perfect.
Yeah, they can reach me at 703-907-7660, or they can find me on the web at ctafoundation.tech. It's .tech.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for taking some time this morning. It's really important information, especially those that are a little scared about the technology, and this can help them get more comfortable with it and start using it to their benefit.
Great. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for covering this important topic.
You
got it. It's really good to get it out.
Take care. Steve Ewell, Executive Director of Consumer Technology Association Foundation. I got a letter. There were a bunch of letters in my on my little cube there this morning. It's from a few weeks ago that the letter got sent, and I was reading it, and it was an older couple talking about the fact that they listen to the show, and they love listening to the show, and talking about some different things, and then at the end of the letter, the person said, we don't Facebook, we don't, you know, do any technology. We just keep in touch with people using our telephone, which, you know, is still a great thing. And, you know, one of the taglines of WGN is, you know, the original social media. We need to talk a lot more. But I think that getting comfortable with that technology and these organizations that are out there, many of which are free of charge, is definitely worth it. You know, if we were talking about this 10 years ago, these classes would have been teaching you how to use a PC and all the things that go around with the computer. But now, with the advent of these tablets and the way these smartphones are, it's so intuitive and so easy to use. I mean, you know, Steve talked about the video chat. You know, if you've got an iPad and you can FaceTime with your grandchildren or your children. It's as easy as a phone call, and you can see them, and they can say, "Look, I just got a new dresser. Let me show it to you." And they can walk around their house with one of these things in their hand, like you're literally holding a piece of paper, a piece of cardboard, because that's how big these tablets are. It really is quite amazing. It's just amazing what this technology can do. And the more you get comfortable with it, the more you'll see how beneficial this can be to you. Interesting stuff. All right, 8:51 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and get back to your phone calls right after these.
This is John Williams. Every Saturday morning, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. And I say to my wife, Brenda, Brenda, we got to do the stuff Lou's talking about. And then every Sunday morning, I say to Brenda, what did we do yesterday?
Hey, I hear that, John Williams. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Today I don't feel
like doing anything. Hey, big day on Monday. I just want to. My father-in-law, Hank Jaskowiak, turns 85 years old. Happy birthday, Henry. My nephew turns 15 years old on Monday. And your anniversary is on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
7 years. Do you need some talcum powder? You're in there scratching like crazy. What's the matter?
I know.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And happy birthday.
Yeah, all those birthdays. Isn't that nice? 8:56 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the number that Kenneth called in Burbank. Hi, Ken. You're on WGN.
Morning, Lou. Had a question about vinyl siding. Every now and then the birds leave an unwanted deposit, and I've been using vinegar to get it off, but now it looks streaky. I wonder if there's a product out there that I could use to clean it and get the streaks out.
Let me ask you this. Where they help you out on the vinyl siding, does it tend to be just on one specific part of it?
No, there's, because I cleaned the whole side, you know, because once you clean off a bird deposit, then it leaves a shiny spot.
Right.
So I finally cleaned the whole side of the house. but
tell me about the amount of sun you get on that side of the house.
That faces the south. Yeah, it gets a lot of sun.
Okay. The reason I'm asking you, I want to test something out that I think will make your life a lot easier. First of all, from a cleaning perspective, what you could do is my friends at Concrobium make a house wash that you can put on the end of a hose, and it uses their really good cleaner through the hose. And I think you'll see that. Is this a single-story house or two-story?
It's a tri-level.
Okay, so on that side of the house, are you getting up on a ladder?
Yes.
All right, well, be careful up there.
Yes.
But you can spray this, and you might need to do a little scrubbing, but you might get away without it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you go to buy that product, I want you to buy a product called Never Wet by Rust-Oleum. And in one area, I want you to test this product out. It is a super hydrophobic clear coating that you're going to spray right onto your vinyl siding.
Okay.
If water or any kind of material gets on there, it's not the bird droppings might stick, but I bet they won't. But if they do stick, you literally can just hose it right off.
I see.
And if it works, do it on the whole side of the house.
Okay.
And that'll make your life easy. Concrobium cleaner, and then this Never Wet product after you clean that off, and I think your life's going to be a whole heck of a lot easier. We'll get to news right after this.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some... This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGS.
Thank you, Nick. 9:12 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Fox Home Center and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment coming up after 9:30 this morning. But right now, let's talk to Mary Ellen, who's in Buchanan, Michigan. Mary Ellen?
Good morning.
How are you? I'm holding up my hand.
Yes.
I got my thumb over to the right. Where's Buchanan, Michigan?
By South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, right there. I'm pointing right there by South Bend, Indiana. I got it. I know where it's at.
We're north.
Gotcha. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good. How are things in Buchanan? Is it raining there yet?
Oh, yes. It's been raining.
Raining like crazy. Boy, oh, boy. How can I help you, dear?
Well, I would like your opinion about this reflective insulation, that multi-layer, that real thin insulation. We've been told that would be a good thing to add in our attic area.
What's in your attic now?
Just regular insulation.
It's unfinished?
Yeah, because it's just, it's the raw. Attic.
Yeah, you're not, in other words, you're not, there's not a set of stairs, you're not walking up there, there's
no
storage.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. Uh-huh.
And they want to add the thin insulation where?
It's like a rollout on, let's say, the floor area, or your ceiling area.
Yeah.
All the way through the house.
Okay.
And to me, I don't know. I think I've been snookered, So talked into this insulation and a solar fan and all this other kind of stuff. And I think it's, but I want your opinion about this insulation. Do you really feel it's going to work?
No.
Okay.
Well, here's what I want you to do. If you want, I say this to people all the time, and hopefully anybody, when you think about, I want to be more comfortable in my home, I want to cut my energy bills, people say, what is the single best thing that I could do to change that? Or to improve that, it's to add additional insulation in your attic.
Yeah.
It's like wearing a hat. And so, this whole thin insulation concept, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, Mary Ellen, you think I've been snookered. If I put you in a nice wool coat and I send you outside in the cold weather, you're going to be nice and warm. If I give you a little thin cardigan sweater, what's going to happen?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, it's physics, for crying out loud. So
yeah, but they say the technology.
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been to Arizona?
No.
Oh, because perfect. I have this beautiful home right on the ocean, and I'm going to give you such a deal. You can see the ocean, the horizon, right there in Arizona. It's beautiful. You can right on the dock. You walk out there. Here's the thing: have somebody come that's going to do some spray cellulose insulation in your home, and add another 6 inches up there, and make sure that they maintain the ventilation so that the if you have soffit vents and attic vents up high, that gets maintained. And you do that, you'll be amazed at how much more comfortable, and you're going to spend less money.
Okay, and as far as like a solar fan that they put in the roof, you know.
Well, the fan is going to benefit you.
Yeah.
In the summer months.
Okay.
Now the thing with the solar fan is this: I love the whole concept of the solar fan, but it only works when the sun is out.
Yeah.
And so to me, I'm a big fan of attic fans in general, but when you think about in Buchanan, Michigan, when we get some of those hot days, right, where it's 80, 90 degrees, and then at 10 o'clock at night, you know, it's still 80 degrees and humid outside, right?
Yeah.
That's when you need that fan to work, and it's not working because the sun's not out. So I'd rather you install, until they get the technology, they haven't figured out, I don't know why, to have a battery system on it where the solar thing runs the fan during the day and charges the battery. And then, you know, even if I could get that fan to run for a couple of hours on the battery, that would be helpful. But they haven't done that yet. I haven't found one that makes one.
This fan we were told about was it runs all the time.
When the sun is out.
No, because of this, I don't know if it's the storage of the solar.
Does it have a battery?
I don't believe it does.
Well, if it has a battery and the sun's not out, how's it running if it's solar powered?
Well,
my point is this, Mary Ellen, an attic fan that you would wire electrically, it draws so little electricity, you wouldn't even know it's there. Your bill would not matter. It isn't like if you had an attic fan. You set that up in there with a thermostat so it runs when the thing gets to 85, 90 degrees up there, and it runs, and then at night when it's super hot, it keeps running to help cool you off. Just have someone add 6 inches of cellulose insulation, maintaining the ventilation in the home, and you're going to be so much more comfortable, and it's just the tried and true method of being more comfortable and insulating your home. Appreciate the phone call. Let me move over to...
Hey, Lou. I figured you'd want to know breaking news.
Oh, hold on one second. Laverne?
Yes.
Can you hold on a second?
Yes.
Hold on. Go ahead. Breaking news.
Sorry, Laverne. Paul Sullivan, who's never been wrong before, is reporting that Jose Quintana will start game one. Figured you'd want to know that right now.
Thank you. Right away. Breaking news. All right, Laverne, are you a Cubs fan?
Yes, I am.
All right. What do you think about Jose Quintana starting tonight?
Great.
You like that kid, right?
Yes.
Looks like a good kid. How can I help you?
I have an old white porcelain kitchen sink that has yellow stains that I can't get out. Any suggestions?
Get a new sink, right? If it's an old sink, you know, you probably have lost that very top coating on the porcelain.
Right.
All right, here's what I would do. What have you used so far? Everything?
Well, I let bleach sit in there with water. I even put some of that CLR with water.
Yeah. Nothing?
No.
Did you try scrubbing it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There, you know.
You know, here's what I would do. There is a product called, you remember Ajax?
Yes.
All right. So Ajax is a scouring powder that you use with, and it has a little bleach in it, too. Sprinkle, get the sink wet, just, you know, spray it down so it's wet, and then sprinkle the Ajax over the top of it, and then let it sit there for about 10 minutes. And then I want you to use a green Scotch-Brite pad and try scrubbing it. That's the best it's going to get. If it doesn't come out of that, it's just that the porcelain is gone and you're now into the finish and, you know, the colorant, and it's just going to continue to stain. And if this is the sink you use every day, you know, eventually you may want to think about replacing it.
All righty. Thank you again.
Thank you, Laverne.
Bye.
Appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:20 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
3 hours of Manfredini. It's a Mr. Fix-It hat trick. Mike Emmerich from NBC Sports here, and I'm a big Lou fan. Great to hear him on the radio home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN.
Thanks, Doc. 9:27 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Howard in Mount Prospect. Hi, Howard. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a leak in my roof. The roof was put on in May of this year. And what I'm wanting to know is there are some corrugated-shaped pieces that are made of foam, and they are underneath in the attic, underneath the roof sheeting in the attic space.
Okay, so when you're in the attic, you can see them.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it's a bi-level house, and this is on the kitchen level, the first level.
Understood.
And they, of course, slope down towards the edge of the house.
Okay.
And there are large, long eaves or wide eaves on the entire house. What is the purpose of those foam pieces? I was told by the installer when I called them to tell them about the leak, and he said they are put there underneath the sheeting where the roof sheeting plywood comes together or butts together. Is that really the case?
Where the roof sheeting butts together, comes together? No. So when I'm looking at these corrugated sheets, they are in between the rafters of the roof, correct?
Correct.
And
correct.
They extend from the peak of the roof all the way down to the eave.
No, they only extend maybe 2.5-3 feet at most.
2.5-3 feet correct. From the bottom up?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Those are insulation baffles.
Okay.
So the purpose of those corrugated pieces are when the insulation goes up against those, it maintains the ventilation from your overhang so that the airflow can come from the overhang and up into the attic space and then vent out of the, hopefully you have some mushroom vents or something on top of this roof, venting it at the top.
I have plenty of venting, and I have an attic fan.
Okay.
That works with an electric
motor. But
where is the
leak occurring that you talked about?
Well, it is due to one of these now called baffles.
Right.
That instead of leaning down towards the
overhang.
End of the
right.
overhang, it has somehow bent, folded down, and is dripping back into my pink insulation. And it actually was dripping right into a can light over the sink.
Was that due to moisture in the attic space, or was there a leak in the roof?
Well, that's the mystery. The water was apparently dripping onto this baffle.
Yeah.
And down tilting, it was tilting back into the attic space and then rolling back, and it just left, I'm going to say, maybe a 4 or 5 inch diameter wet spot in the pink insulation, but it was right above the can light in the kitchen, and so there were drips of water coming through the can light.
Well, those are insulation.
And that's the only place I can see where there's water.
Okay.
Is it backing up through the gutter, perhaps?
It could, but the thing is that you definitely want to, that insulation baffle is not there to channel water. I mean, that's what it's doing, but it's there to help with airflow. And you need to address the roof issue so you can fix that, because that shouldn't be channeling any water whatsoever. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number.
text me maybe.
Time for Just Text Me on
the Mr. Fix-It Show.
That's right, 720 WGN.
Text me maybe.
It is time for Just Text Me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. We get lots of text messages from people throughout the show, and we like to rapid fire through a bunch of questions, helpful for them, hopefully, and helpful for you as well. The talented Lindsay Smithwick.
And, that's me.
Anniversary coming up on Monday. Happy anniversary again.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to my father-in-law. It's his birthday as well. And then actually my nephew Eli's birthday is today, not Monday.
Oops.
Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, Eli. Yep. Handsome young man.
He is a handsome young fellow. What do you got for me?
Lou, if I stick my nose to the vents of the... I know, what is this? If you could see my hand right now, it's like I'm Shakespearean.
Right,
drama.
Right. Very nice, right.
If I stick my nose to the vents on the back of my dryer, when it's off, there is a smell of gas. Is this normal?
No. I mean, if there's a gas smell, I would call the gas company right away. It's a free service. They will come out usually within the hour, and so there might be a connection problem there. That if you do not mess with the gas smell stuff, call the gas company right away. They'll be out usually within the hour to check it all out. So that's what I would do.
Okay. Purchasing a house in Arizona, the inspector found a stain on the ceiling of the powder room. Master bath is above, and he feels like it is the shutoff valve of the sink above. Does this make sense? Can I just change the valve?
Sure. I mean, if there's a bathroom right up above, I mean, you know, absolutely could be a leak. If the inspector thinks that it's the shutoff valve leaking, then absolutely you can just change the valve. You might be able to just tighten it too. A lot of times on shutoff valves, depending on, in Arizona, they use a lot of PEX plumbing. So it's a plastic pipe that comes out. But those fittings are clamp fittings onto the PEX. And then the valve, the actual handle of the valve that you turn has a stem. And then there's a nut called a seat nut. If you just tighten that nut a little bit, if it's leaking right there, you could solve the problem just like that.
Okay. A seat nut.
Seat nut.
This lady has a question, but she starts it with, "Hey, Lou, my son was running in the Chicago Marathon. He saw you at the 17 mile and yelled, 'Hey, Lou, my mom loves your show.'"
I did hear somebody. Yeah, somebody did yell that, and I couldn't tell who it was. It was the 18 mile mark because we were there. Cheering on my son Quinn, which, by the way, he was telling, you know how people make funny signs? And we had a good one because we're just in almost done remodeling our kitchen, and we have a new fridge. We didn't have a fridge for like a month. And so I did a picture of a refrigerator and I said, "Hey, Quinn, run like our new refrigerator."
Oh, that was your artwork?
That was my artwork.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And then, Quinn said one of the funniest signs he saw was somebody held a sign out said, "I just farted. Run faster."
Oh, my God. That's good.
So anyway, I'm there at the mile marker looking, and it was right when I was trying to, you know, there's a tracker, there's an app, and we're tracking Quinn, and also my brother-in-law Matt ran in it, and my friend Mike ran in it as well. So we're tracking them, and then the technology was kind of spotty in and out, so then the tracker stopped. And so we're like looking, and you know, when all of a sudden there's a mass of people coming at you. We knew he was running for Misericordia, so he had a red shirt. Guess how many people wear red shirts?
Right.
So you're like, your eyes are going. All of a sudden, I hear somebody go, "Hey, Lou, my mom's listening," and I like turn around. I didn't know who said anything, so that's kind of funny that they noticed me while I'm standing there drinking my coffee,
that
not running.
Funny. Right.
Yeah.
She does have a question though. So she wants to know: "I can feel cold air leaking in between my window and the frame, window frame, and the wall. What can we use to block the cold air?"
Well, if everything's relatively tight, in other words, you don't see gaping holes, then I would take some clear caulking and caulk the trim to the window frame on both the wall side and the window frame side to try and cut the drafts. And with the clear, it goes on white, so you can actually tool it and make sure that you get a good seal. And after it dries to a clear finish, which you want to get the acrylic stuff that is paintable in case you need to paint it. But that should help. The alternative there is if it's if that does not improve, you may have to take some of the trim off and then put some minimally expanding foam between the frame and the window frame to seal it up and then put the trim back.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Last one is, need help with water on carpet about 2 feet from the fireplace. It's a two-story room. There's no water from the ceilings. Inside of the fireplace is dry. It gets more wet as it's raining harder today. Fireplace inspection or roof or both?
Well, I'd probably start with a chimney inspection. In the interim, if this is a problem that's been going on, it's wall-to-wall carpeting, I would pull some of the carpeting back so you can expose the subfloor to see what's happening. My guess is it's more of a chimney slash flashing issue, mm-hmm. which certainly a roofing contractor can help you with, but I think that I would start with a chimney inspection. You'd call the folks at Lindemann to come out and do an inspection. Right. They can also do a cleaning check of the fireplace furnace as well. That's just text me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's a quick call. Rob's in Schaumburg. Hey, Rob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Love your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question about the underlayment in my bathroom floor. I'm replacing the tile, and I want to know the best flooring to use or best underlayment for that.
In a bathroom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're going to go down to the subfloor, correct?
Yes, and rip that out.
But you're going to go all the way down. What's in there now?
I believe plywood.
Right, but you're going to go all the way down to the floor rafters or the floor joists?
Yeah, because it's squeaky and it's kind of, I don't know, I just don't like it and I want to replace
it. All right, so you're going to gut the whole thing. You're going to take that all out. You're going to put down new 3/4-inch plywood. You're going to glue it and screw it in place. Because of what you're doing, in a remodel, you know, typically plywood subfloors have a tongue and a groove. It'll be difficult for you to try and get that tongue and groove in a small space like that. So if you're using regular 3/4-inch plywood where the seams meet, you know, that are perpendicular to the joists.
Yes.
You're going to screw and glue a piece of 2x4 on the underside of the first piece of plywood, screw it and glue it, and then when you put the next piece of plywood in there, screw it to that as well. So it's a way to keep those seams from moving on each other. See what I mean?
Okay.
Like a backing?
Okay.
Then, depending on, you know, if you're going down 3/4, depending on how high you need to get to for the rest, just use a concrete board like Durarock. And you could use 1/2 inch if you have that much clearance, or you could use 1/4 inch, which they make, and you're going to mechanically fasten that to the subfloor. You're going to screw it down. One of the better screws is an old-time sponsor here called Rock-On, which is an ITW product, which is a great way to set and screw in concrete board. Then you put your new finished tile or stone, whatever it may be, over the top of that. Thanks so much for the phone call.
So long, farewell, all readers say adieu. Adieu, 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 adieu.
Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thank you so much for listening. This is Margaret in Arlington Heights. Hi, Margaret. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I love you. I'm one of your, I know, biggest fans. I know that.
Really?
I love waking up to you on Saturday morning.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Well, it's true.
How can I help you?
My house is almost 90 years old, and I have an extremely slow bathtub drain. It's the original bathtub, and I love the tub. So my question is, I've been using the microbial treatment that, you know, you let it sit and mm-hmm. it's supposed to eat away. And I did it religiously. And then I would plunge, plunge, plunge and let it sit. I did it probably 2 weeks in a row. Even left when I left and went on vacation, I thought now it's really going to do its thing. But it's not.
Let me ask you this in your 90-year-old home. In that bathroom, in that bathtub, next to the bathtub on the floor, is there a little disc, like a little something, like a little brass disc or something on the floor?
No.
No. And what's underneath this tub?
What's underneath that tub?
Like, what room is underneath there?
My dining room.
Okay.
My dining room.
Chances are that old 90-year-old tub has what's called a drum trap.
Okay.
And that's probably just clogged and filled, and plus the fact the pipes are 90 years old, so the microbial can only get you so far.
Okay.
I'm going to have you try one more thing before you call the plumber.
Okay.
So it does drain, right, but slowly?
Yes, but
okay.
Very slowly.
There is a product that you'll find at the hardware store called InstaFlow.
Okay.
Okay? It's these little chips. And I want you to boil some water in a pot.
Okay.
Like a pot with a handle, like a quart pot. And
I want you
to take some of this InstaFlow and you're going to pour these chips over the top of the drain and make like a little mountain of chips. Before you do that, you're going to run some hot water in the tub.
Okay.
And let that drain down. So if you do that, if you were to put some hot water, how long would it take to drain?
If I just fill the drain, it'll take probably 5 minutes.
Okay, so get some hot water in there, let warm up the drain. Then put these chips in there, then pour some boiling water over the top of that until the chips all dissolve. And then let the chips dissolve and sit there for 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
Okay.
Then turn the faucet on and flush it out.
Okay.
Then let it flush out and then repeat it again. That's the best you're going to get prior to calling a plumber.
Okay, and what's the plumber going to do?
He's going to take apart all those. He's going to rot it out.
Okay.
Yeah. But this, if it works, costs you $10, and it just might work for you. Margaret, thanks so much for the phone call.